You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
Amen. Exodus 33. Now, therefore, I pray, show me your ways, Moses says. This right here. Show me your ways that I may know you and that I may find your favor. Somebody shout favor. Favor, favor. If I could get some help just moving this up to that right there. See these pieces of tape right there? Because we got a lot of folks watching online that want to see this. That I may know you and that I may find favor in your sight. Psalms chapter 30. For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor. I said his favor. Last a lifetime. Let me establish this before I get too deep in the word and in this cycle this morning. Church, you are the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. And one thing every bride has in common is a womb. There's a reason you're not the groom. Because it's never been your responsibility to do anything with the seed. It's been your responsibility to be the womb to hold the seed. So as the bride of Christ, we are the womb, meaning that if God is going to do a thing in the earth, he's going to do it as seed in womb. Even Logos in flesh, even Jesus had to come through the womb of Mary. Because heaven and hell both have an understanding that if anything's going to get in the earth, it's going to be in seed form as a seed in the womb of humanity. And God wants to do something and birth something in your womb that is supernatural, out of the ordinary, extraordinary in this earth. God has designed your womb to house the kingdom of God. Your womb has been designed to house the favor of God. Your womb was not designed to house doubt. Your womb was not designed to house discord. Your womb was not designed to house fear and insecurity. That is not what your womb was designed for. But your womb was designed to house the favor, the favor of God. And I've come to speak to some folks this morning that you're going to get set free, because you're going to realize inside the cycle of favor, you're going to perpetually birth the kingdom of God in everything that you do. So y'all ready for the message? I thought you was already preaching. Not yet. Y'all know us Pentecostal preachers, the intro and the close are the longest part of the whole sermon. Bless God. Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time together. Minister, as only you can. Have your way. Holy Ghost, we love you. This is your word, not mine. So speak how only you can speak. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Just stay right here in this atmosphere of worship. And thank you, band. Is this not the most amazing worship team, band? Incredible. Pastor Jasmine and the team, you guys are just absolutely amazing. How about your pastors? Pastor Landon and Heather. Cover them, because you ain't seen anything yet. You have seen nothing yet. This room is not big enough to house what the Lord wants to do. I'll tell you, like I told first service, this city is not big enough to house the prophetic call that is on this house. This state is not big enough. This region is not big enough. This nation is not big enough. But what God is going to do in this house is going to be for nations. It's going to go beyond the borders of America. There is and the Lord said that it's not a fancy building that you have, it's hunger. There is going to be a hunger that is not just in this house, but I see people flying from overseas to come sit in here for just one weekend to get a hold of, oh God, have mercy. To get a hold of something to take back to where they are. And there are going to be fires released all over this world because of one Sunday visit in this house. Oh, bless God. I need an organ this morning. Oh, Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost in this room. 9 o'clock said they was crazy, but y'all way more crunk. Way more. They don't hold nothing on y'all. Cycle of favor. Somebody say, preach, pastor. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, finally. So favor, it's most commonly used in the Bible as a Hebrew word called kanan. And the word favor means to stoop down low from up high. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God that's reigns up high, but he's willing to get in my mess down low? Has the Lord ever gotten your mess? Yeah, I know all you sanctified religious folk that you've been saved for 232 years and you forgot what it was like to live your life away from Jesus, but I mean, really, has the Lord ever got into your mess? Like, has he ever got into your miry clay? Or how about the mess that nobody else knows about, your secret mess? Has he ever got down into your secret mess and delivered you and healed you and restored you? You know, if the devil had had his way with you, you would be strung out on drugs. You wouldn't be here this morning. But look what the Lord has done. He's healed your body. He touched your soul. And he did it all just in time. Just in time. But this is the year of the supernatural. And I'm thankful that we serve a God that is willing to pour his spirit out down low where we are. But beloved, let me tell you this morning that when heaven stoops down and touches the earth, we call it favor. We call it the supernatural. Heaven calls it normal. We have been trained to call outpourings of God supernatural, which they are, rightfully so. Favor, which it is, and rightfully so. But it is not supernatural in heaven. Provision is not favor in heaven. Being healed is not a miracle in heaven. It's not supernatural. It only becomes favor and supernatural when it touches the earth. And I just declare that over this house, the normal ways of heaven are about to invade this place. That when other places will say, they'll come in here and say, man, that's favor, that's supernatural. And you'll be like, huh? That's just normal Sunday. That's just normal Sunday. But God's desire is to keep you inside this cycle of favor. And let's begin with the first step of this cycle. Y'all, excuse my spelling. It's covered under the anointing. In Tennessee, they didn't teach us how to spell. They just taught us how to preach. All right, so bear with me. The first step in the cycle of favor is the need. Does anybody got some needs in the room? Some things you're believing God for? I got about four people over here. No, all of you over here, y'all good? Okay, how about online? Anybody got any needs, just any needs? This past year has presented an unprecedented amount of needs. 2020 on into 2021, there are people that are listening to me this morning that you need a job. You need to get well. You've been sick. We need a breakthrough. We need healing. We need God to move. This past year, we need masks. No, and that's a good thing. I mean, I think my masks that are in the back of my car are dirtier than COVID, but that's a whole nother thing. That's just my mask. We got one size fits all, my whole family, we just share it. Now that, yeah, bless God, let's move on. Don't, Jeremy. Behave yourself up here in Fort Worth. But in the kingdom, your need is the beginning of the cycle of favor. I want to flip the perspective of a need, because your need is not God's problem. Your need is God's entrance. It is, let me just draw this. That is a door. My need is not the end of the game. My need is the beginning of this thing.
And see, when you get inside of a need, your need becomes God's door for the supernatural. And so when God comes into your life, you can't take the credit for it. He gets the glory for it. Now, need only exists because sin was there. Without sin, there is no need. And isn't it awesome that God would take what was meant to harm and use it as his avenue or his vehicle into our life? So my need is not God's issue, it's God's entrance. You think it's an issue when you think in the natural, but I've come to stir up some kingdom-minded thinkers in the room this morning, and I want you to start seeing what God sees. The Lord's about to elevate your perspective to see like you've never seen it before. God's about to pull you up to see what he sees so you can begin to pray according to his will, not that you haven't been already, but more boldly than you've ever prayed before, because God's about to show you that your need was just the beginning in this cycle. I come to preach to somebody this morning that whatever it is you're going through, your need is just God's beginning. Somebody shout yes.
Yes. Yes. I mean, how would you assess favor without need? Now watch. Paul says something interesting. If you got your Bibles, go to Philippians. Remember when you used to hear pages turn? If you're in Genesis, it's okay. Go to your right. Paul says, not that I'm speaking of being in a need. So Paul right here identifies there's not a need. For I have learned in whatever situation, this is a perplexing text to me as you read it. Whatever situation, he said, I've learned to be content. He said, I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, he said, I've learned the secret of facing plenty. I've learned the secret of facing hunger. I've learned the secret of abundance. Oh, and by the way, I've learned the secret of my need. So let me get this straight. In this text, Paul said, I don't have a need in my need. There's not a need, even though it looks like a need. I don't see my need the way the world sees my need. Therefore, the need that I have is not actually a need. It's just a setup for verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. So in other words, Paul said, my need led me to my King. And if I had it to do all over again, I would have embraced the same need. I would have gone through the same struggle. I would have endured the same storm. I know it was hard. I know it didn't make a lot of sense. It was hard on the family and hard on the marriage, but I found my King in the middle of my storm. So I ain't even hating on my need because my need led me to my King. It's been your need that puts you in the cycle of favor. That's God's entrance into your life. Now remember that we are the what of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. We're the bride of Christ. And so as I was praying over this message, I wept. I wept when I wrote it, and I'm weeping now because I feel like this is a call to the house of God, that this is a charge to the house of God, that it has been our need that has reminded the bride how much she needs the groom. Because for too long, the bride has mistaken her identity and thought she was the groom and responsible for making things happen. But we are the bride, and you are not the groom, and you can't take credit for the seed when you're called to be the womb. So that means the need was just a setup for the next step. For the seek. My need was a setup for intimacy. So my need starts here. Man, this is tough, this is hard, but my need led me to my knees. Has anybody ever had one of those needs? One of those needs that lead you to your knees? Now, Moses says this, he says this in Exodus 33, he said, listen, he said, I wanna know you that I can find your favor. I want you to notice that Moses did not pursue favor, Moses pursued intimacy.
Moses did not go after God's hand, he wanted God's heart, because Moses understood that God was not his sugar daddy, that God was there to help him to become a thing. And it wasn't about getting the hand of God, it's about getting the heart of God. Because when I get his hand, I get stuff. When I get his heart, I become a thing. And we've got to flip how we view our seeking and pursuit of God, that it is not, God, I am seeking you because I want you to do something for me, but I am seeking you because I was created to do this, and if I never get another thing from you, I am already in your favor because you've allowed me in relationship. So Moses said, I want to know you. Because if I'm intimate with you, this is a byproduct of intimacy. This is not pursuit. This is a byproduct of pursuing intimacy. And the Bible tells us that seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. The word know that Exodus uses is always about intimacy. Anytime you see it in the Bible, to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Anytime we know Jesus, it is intimacy. Now remember that you are a womb. So what happens in intimacy? We have one of those uh-ohs this year. Got a 3-month-old baby boy. One of those rut-row moments. But intimacy, seed, we grown in this service, right? Yeah. Seed gets deposited in womb. Whatever you're intimate with. Can I get some help in the room this morning? And there's some, matter of fact, oh, Holy Ghost, I would do it right now. Everybody watching in this room, I right now rebuke, renounce, and remove every demonic seed that has been put inside of your womb right now. Even what's been trying to keep you from hearing this message in the name of Jesus, I feel some resistance, some things that have been holding you back. Somebody over here is about to get set free. Somebody over here is about to get healed. Somebody over here is about to praise like you've never praised before. I uproot that in the name of Jesus. The great mistake we have is that we get into this place right here, we get this need, and know this, your need will never go anywhere until your need becomes a seek. And you will stay in that need, because what happens is people get in the need and they need to complain. They need to worry. They need to be insecure. They need to be upset. They need approval of man. So this is the place right here that you can actually exit the cycle of favor, because your need has caused you to seek false gods. Little g, baby. False gods. And all of these false gods continue to tell you that they will give you favor if you go there. They will protect you if you go there. And what you don't realize is that if you're not careful, your need will put you in a demonic cycle, not God's cycle. So you will for generations chase fear around your bloodline, and for generations chase depression around your bloodline, because in the middle of a need somewhere, oh God, somebody got out of the cycle and sought things that were demonic. But this season has been a setup for the greatest outpouring you've ever seen. So the time for us to seek is now. I want to know you. I want to know you. At the end of all this, if we don't have buildings, if we stayed in the, I'll never forget, I can take you to the place. I was on this beautiful multicolored floor cafeteria. Me and your pastor laid together side by side in this floor. I remember this moment. We got a picture of it. Not now, but we did back then. And I'll never forget in that moment I laid there and I said, Lord, finally, after 30-something no's on buildings, couldn't find one anywhere, I laid in the floor and I said, Lord, if I stay here forever, I'm okay with it. I will stay in this cafeteria for the rest of my life as long as I got you.
because at the end of the day, none of this stuff matters if we don't have Jesus. You can take it all away, strip it all away, what we have made church and what we've made the organization, but at the end of the day, if his presence is not there, I don't want anything to do with it. I'm not trying to seek after notoriety. I don't need people to know my name. I don't need them to know the name of the books I write. I just need them to know who Jesus is. And at the end of the day, if I can look at him and he say, well done, my servant, not preacher, not Pastor Jeremy, well done, son, well done, daughter, then at the end of the day, it's all been worth it. Hallelujah. That's a little hallelujah and speaking in tongues at the same time. You got to be really advanced in your walk with Jesus to do that. Now I'm going to do point three and stage three and stage four together. Prepare, preparation, okay. The preparation and the pour. So we go from need to seek, to get prepared, to God pouring. Now this right here, this is where we get confused sometimes on our roles and we get very frustrated in our walk with the Lord because we spend too much time trying to force the pour instead of embracing the preparation. I see people get frustrated in ministry all the time, in their calling all the time. Can I be honest with you and just be real with you? I have spent too much time here. I have spent too much time trying to force the pour instead of embracing the preparation. And the deal is the things that God, I wanted here, that I wanted to see God do, that I got in prayer, it wasn't that God did not want to do those things or pour those things, but God is not in the business of wasting miracles or breaking wineskin. So if you're not prepared, he's not going to pour. If you would just let God work on your marriage and work on your mindset and work on your mouth, and work on what you post. You get two screams for that. But if you would just let the Lord work on you, then you'd be able to handle more of this. But you keep trying to force this and convince everybody that God's really doing something in your life because you want people to see you and acknowledge you more than you want to seek him and know him, then you're gonna continually be frustrated forcing something you weren't created to do. Revelation 19. The Bible says that the bride makes herself ready. So preparation is our part. This is me. That must mean pouring is God's responsibility. I tried to tell you, you will always be frustrated, womb, when you try to assume the responsibility of seed. Bride, you are not the groom. It is your responsibility to allow preparation. Watch 2 Kings chapter 3. This is where it comes home. The Lord says to them, make this valley full of ditches. Somebody shout, prepare. For thus says the Lord, you will not see wind, you will not see rain, yet the valley will be filled with water. He said, I got this. Oh, I just need to encourage somebody this morning. The Lord said, I got this. I got this. I got this, Pastor Landon. I got this. I didn't bring you here to drop you off. I didn't bring you this far to let the devil take you. Come on, I got this. You trusted me to pour 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when hell was breaking loose around you. You've lost so much in your life, you should not be here today. God said, you trusted me to pour before, trust me again. So I prepare, God pours. He said, you're not going to see wind, you're not going to see rain. Yet the valley is going to be filled with water. Verse 18. Go skip to verse 18. And this is but a light thing to me. This is but an easy thing to me. This is a light thing to the Lord. I've come to tell you that what God has already done in this house, That's a light thing to the Lord. This ain't a heavy work for him. This ain't a heavy load for him. He is pleased with this. This has been his intention from the beginning. This is a light thing. Somebody say it's a light thing. In other words, God said to them, he said, look, I want to take the pressure off of you. I want you to release yourself from the pressure to perform. Somebody needs to hear that, maybe in the balcony, maybe online, but you have been set free today from the pressure to perform. Leaders in ministry, you've been set free today from the pressure to perform in order to keep up with a standard that's of this world, not of the kingdom. You be released in the name of Jesus. You don't have to produce the water. You get the wineskin ready. You don't have to produce the wine. You just make sure you're praying. You make sure you're fasting. You make sure your marriage is getting right. You make sure that you're getting everything squared away and ready so that when God says it's time, then your vessel is ready to hold the thing that God wants to do. You don't have to pour out the miracle. You don't have to pour out the salve. I'm getting set free myself. I'm about to run 5 laps around this place. You're not responsible for the revival. You're not responsible for the outpouring. You're not responsible for the money that is needed for the future. You think things are good now. You're going to need 10 times to do what God's called this house to do. 10 times. You're going to need 10 times because you're the womb, not the seed. So the amount of water I send, the Lord says, is directly tied to how many ditches you dig. He said, you dig the ditches and I'm going to send the water. You dig the ditches and I'm gonna send the water. You dig the ditches, somebody say, get your shovel out. Get your shovel out. Get your shovel out. Yeah, I'm gonna prepare because Lord, when you start looking, I don't want you to have to look any further. When you go looking for a valley to fill, I don't want you to look past Jeremy Dunn's life. I want you to look right here. I want to dig all the ditches I can dig so when the Lord starts pouring the thing out, my valley is filled with ditches. So then my supernatural dig determines God's supernatural pour. Somebody touch your neighbor and say, neighbor, it's ditch digging time. It's ditch digging time. It's time to dig some ditches in your life. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:20, unto him who's able to do. I said, he's able to do. Has God ever done anything for you? Then what you stressing about? Come on, if he's done it before, he'll do it again. 2021, the supernatural is going to hit this house. You just got to make sure your vessel is ready. Because Pastor Landon said, whatever hits this house is going to hit your house. You just got to make sure your house is ready. Pastor Landon, leadership team, going to make sure this house is ready, but you make sure your house is ready. This is why it's so important to be underneath the right covering, because the right covering from a bigger perspective will get the house ready to position you to even get your house ready. That's a whole nother message. Somebody say, get ready. So here's the deal. The pouring... Watch. Pouring is that which can be measured. It's the miracle that you can measure. It is the answer to prayer that you knew to pray. It is the testimony that is measurable by human reasoning. Has God ever come through for you and answered your prayer? This is the thing that can be measured. This is what you said. I remember I prayed for that 6 months ago. I put that in my journal. God poured that out. I remember that is the thing I prayed for. So you can measure that right there. But be very careful because this can be a very dangerous place on this cycle. Because as people begin to measure the miracles, the measurable place is the test for this place, but I'm not going to get ahead of myself. This is getting yourself ready. This is nothing but a test. Oh, God, have mercy. I come to declare that over this house. This, how long has it been? 2 years on Easter? It's been nothing but a test. It's been nothing but a test for this house. That's all this season has been. It's been nothing but a test. But here's where you better be careful on this cycle, because as you start measuring it, you will have two choices to make. You will turn that which you can measure into praise. or you can turn it into pride. Because the moment you can measure something, you start saying, I can take credit for it because I fasted this much and knew to ask for it. So you start taking spiritual credit for something that was supernaturally poured because you got all sanctified and religious in your ways, and I knew to pray that, and I fasted for 322 days straight. Well, bless God. You probably ain't living here right now. But I've known to do all this, and I prayed, and I laid in the floor for 32 hours. And so I remember the Lord said, remember that God told me to say this, you better be real careful because you can very covertly start taking praise and walk in pride from something that doesn't belong to you and it belongs to Him. And you better be careful because as you start measuring it, the enemy will test you with pride. You have known that God was going to do this thing here. And the only thing that will hold this house back is if you start robbing God of the glory that belongs to Him. It's the only thing that will hold your life back. So we take ourselves off the throne. I've seen it. Haven't you seen it right here? Watch. People start measuring it. They stop tithing. Oh, they crying out to God all through here. Worthy is your name, Jesus. I love you. I love you. Oh, please, I'm desperate. I'm desperate, I'm desperate. And we get to here and they stop serving. They stop coming to church. They fall off. They've walked through this entire cycle. Why? Because now they've taken something they can measure and they've allowed themselves to outweigh their God. Ephesians 3:20, the rest of it. Now unto Him who's able to do. Can you get ready for some sweet Jesus music for me? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Unto Him who's able to do. That's just the poor. Exceeding, abundant, above anything that you could ask or think. Exceeding, abundant, above anything you could ask or think according to the power that worketh within you. So if poor can be measured, now is when we get into what's called overflow. Overflow. This, so if pouring is what you knew to pray for, overflow is everything that is not measured, meaning you didn't even know to pray for that. You didn't even know to cry out to God for that. You didn't even know to ask for that house, ask for that thing, ask for that job, ask for that person, ask for that relationship, ask for those finances, whatever it is. You didn't even know to because it was overflow. It was beyond your ability. This is what it looks like to walk in the overflow of God, not Him answering prayers that you've prayed, but Him coming through in ways that you didn't even know how to pray. You didn't know how to fast for them. They were too big for you. They were too strong for you. There was too much resources involved. But you started seeking after God. You got prepared. God started pouring. Then He sent you into overflow. And you say, oh, God. It's overflow time in this house. You're going to experience one more quarter of this. One more quarter of this is a house. And I don't know exactly what this means, Pastor Landon, but one more quarter, quarter two, quarter three, and quarter four, you're here. You're here. You're here. This 40-day fast is about to be over. All that you've known to pray for, it's a light thing. The Lord says it's a light thing. But what I'm going to do in this season, you didn't even know to pray for. But watch. God took eternity, put inside the heart of man. Your spirit's been crying out as you have groaned, as you have prayed in the Holy Ghost. Church, let me tell you, your spirit knows how to cry out for that which is attached to your calling. Somebody say overflow. Overflow. What God's going to do in this house cannot be measured. Cannot be measured. Cannot be measured. God shows up to Abraham, 99 years old. Let's have some kids. I mean, it's like the most common joke in church. We just say it and we all laugh, right? But he introduces himself to Abraham as a preface to who he's going to be in Abraham's life. And he doesn't introduce himself as Jireh, provider. He doesn't introduce himself Shalom, as peace. He doesn't introduce himself Nisi, as the one who reigns in victory. He doesn't introduce himself as Jehovah, but he comes and he says, I am the Lord God, the Almighty. He introduces himself in the Hebrew as El Shaddai. I am the God of more than enough. I am the God of overflow. So Abraham, while you are worried about your ability, I'm not worried about your ability. I just want your availability, because this has never been about what you could do. This has never been about your preaching skill. This has never been about your resources. This has never been about how good you are, how called you are, your gifting. It's never been about how awesome you are. This has just been about, are you available? Because if you're available, God will move. I don't care if you stutter like Moses, if you're broke down, if you're a harlot, if you've got nothing going on in your life. If you just say, Lord, I'm available, then God will put you in a season of overflow. It's not about your ability. I wonder if there's a church in Fort Worth, Texas that says, I'm available. I wonder if there's a mama, a daddy. I wonder if there's a husband, wife that'll say, I'm available. Come on, let's stop going through the motions, church. Let's stop just going through the 9 to 5 and showing up to church on Sunday and leaving. If you're not serving yet, you need to serve somewhere. If you're not tithing yet, you need to tithe somewhere, because this thing is bigger than you. Don't just go through the motions. Say, Lord, I'm available. My resources are available. My children are available. My family is available. I'm asking you to stretch. I'm not just asking you to come to the altar and jump and dance. I'm glad you're emotionally available. But give him your whole heart. Love him with your mind. Love him with your finances. Love him with your future. Trust him with everything. This is a season of overflow. This is a season of overflow. And God's desire is to never take you off of this cycle. Because once you get into the overflow, you start saying things like, I'm unqualified. It requires too much money. I'm not good enough. Maybe I wasn't called. Maybe I can't do it. Maybe I'm the wrong person. Lord, this is too much. This is too much, God. I don't know how to handle this, because you see, church, beloved, this is the brim of the cup. This is everything that overflows. That means that I serve a God that He will prepare me, fill me to the brim, and then overflow me, so that I get to the place where I say, Lord, I cannot handle this. And this is where I am right now, church. Lord, I can't handle this. I don't know what to do. Am I the right guy? Did I make the right decision? Did we make the right move? Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. Lord, in the middle of this pandemic, and we needed a building, and you gave us a building in the most amazing place, just like this, right off the interstate. And then the Rona shut everything down, and the school wouldn't let us back in. We didn't have a place to meet. We were homeless. And then the pricing comes back. We have to tear buildings down. We didn't expect to tear down and build buildings. We didn't expect to build. And it ended up being $6.5 to $7 million. And we don't have a home. We're homeless. And I thought the whole time that that building was the poor. But that's what I could measure. But the Lord said, I have graced you with a piece of property that was way too expensive that you shouldn't have been able to afford, in a position that you shouldn't be in, because I wanted to make sure that you didn't try to rob the glory that belongs to me. And so he said, you have passed the test. You have passed the poor test. You have given me everything. That means that this right here, when I get into the too much, guess what it does? It puts me back at a need, and God's got the place to enter my life again. And then I start seeking again, and then I start getting prepared, and then I get poured, and then I get overflow, and then it all is too much again, and God starts preparing you again. It is the way that we move from glory to glory. This is the cycle of favor and everything over here. Moses, this is where Moses found favor. This is where he found it. This is where he saw it. He found it here because this is his responsibility. Because God shows up to Moses. Moses didn't move a muscle. And God said, you found favor, now what do you want? And at that moment, Moses realized, I thought I was after your favor. The Lord said, what do you want now that you found it? He said, Lord, I've realized now that the only thing I want is show me your glory. I want your glory. The favor that God is bringing over this house is just to position you to bear the weight of the manifest presence of God. This is just to position you to bear the glory of the Lord. And when the glory of the Lord sweeps in this place, nothing is going to be able to stand. Your pastor will fall down ministering. Worshipers will fall on their face from side to side. Healings, breakouts, baptism in the Holy Ghost, the weight of the presence of God. Come on, somebody lift your voice this morning and worship him. If you're receiving this, lift your voice and worship him. Oh! Yes. Come on, cry that out this morning.
Show us your glory.
That's our desire. That's our desire. Come on, this is the seeking. This is the seeking right here. Somebody cry out. Somebody go to your face. Somebody get on your knees. Somebody break protocol. If you've never danced, dance. If you've never shouted, shout. If you've never run, run. But break out of the norm this morning. Show us. Let desperation arise. Let desperation arise. This church is not usual. So give them an unusual pursuit. You believe in God? Steve, come here. You believe in God for miraculous. Run. The stage, look up at your Father. Say, show me your glory.
Show us your glory.
This is the moment you've been waiting for. This is the moment you've been believing for.
Show us your glory. Oh, Lord, I just want you more.
praises. Come on, radical praises.
We just want to see your face.
Hey. Yes.
We just want to see your face.
Oh.
We just want to see your face.
Hey.
We just want to see your face.
That's all that matters.
We just want to see your face.
Yes.
We just want to see your face. We just want to see your face. We just want to see your face.
We just want to see.
We just want to see your face. 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 We just want to see your face.
I hear this. There's revival in the ashes. There's revival in the ashes. That there's some of you that today stirred up something you said. Man, I remember as a child. I remember my auntie. I remember my grandmother. I remember this passion. I remember this tarrying in the altar. That for somebody in this room today has stirred up a good kingdom memory. And you've wondered where that fire is gone, that passion is gone. And the Lord said, today I'm going to cause, I see a fire beginning to burn in an ash pile. I see something that you thought had been burned out because of a system or some reason or our pain or hurt began to burn again. But somebody in here, you're going to break free of religion and you're going to jump into seeking relationship. You're going to burn like you have never burned before. I tell people this all the time at our church. People say, well, Pastor, you just old crazy redheaded white boy. Like you, that's your DNA. This ain't my DNA. This is my born again DNA. I said, this is my born again DNA. Because when you get born again, you trust God to redeem everything. Your past, your mess, your sin. Can he not also redeem your emotions to give him all of who you are? So today I declare in this house that the cycle of favor continue over this house. And you may go through this right here in a day's time. You may go through this right here in a year. You may have one of these going on in a day. You might go through this in one conversation. Somebody tests you the wrong way, you got a need. And if God don't show up, they're going to have a need too. So you start praying. God prepares you to what to say next. He pours out his grace over you to be able to handle it. Next thing you know, you praying for the person and laying hands on the person that you was about to fight with. Then y'all start crying. You can't believe that now you're about to be in a friendship with somebody you didn't like. And guess what? You got a need again because you don't know how you're going to be friends with them. This is the cycle of favor in everything that we do. Pastor Landon, come on up. I'll leave the house with this. You are in the pouring season for one quarter of the year. One quarter. This is the pouring season. After the pouring season, you're going into overflow. And I'll tell you, you're my best friend and I love you. And I wouldn't be where I am as a leader and be able to walk through this without you. The only thing that will stop you is not allowing him to have the glory. It's the only thing. Everything else you need is in the house. It's here. It's here. I love you, man. We just gonna end right there because I could just keep preaching. Because this is a hungry house. I love you, Mercy Culture. I love you.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.